I think it's amazing how God works things out. You know, a lot of times people might think, well, Tim and Stephen or myself and Tim might have talked about what we was preaching and what the songs are going to be, but it ain't like that, folks. It's just amazing how this morning these songs were sung and them singing about the storms, how that just kind of goes right along with what you're preaching on. It ain't that we converse, it's that we listen to God. And he works all this out. He knows what the people need. But if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Romans chapter 5. We're talking about being justified through the blood of Jesus. And for those of you who might not have been here last Sunday night during the singing, Andrew, you know, the young man that stays with Fred and Judy, after the song service realized there's something missing in his life, and he got saved last Sunday night. And that was... a lot of people done left when that had happened, and it was just amazing how he was back here and just realized something was missing and how just God convicted his heart that night. So it's through songs or through preaching, whatever the case may be, God convicts through different ways. Just when Joshua, when he got saved, we was in the choir was singing, and the Holy Spirit started dealing with him right then. I mean, it couldn't wait for that to the preaching. So it was always in this church, if the Lord's dealing with you, the altar is always open. You don't have to wait for the invitation. That's what I love about this church. The altar is always open. Because the Lord deals with us in different ways, at different times in the service. So I just, that was a joy to be able to lead Andrew to the Lord last Sunday night. And me and Steve was talking, and hopefully the next couple of weeks we'll be able to baptize him. So when y'all see Andrew again, just let him know, welcome to the family of God. Been in the book of Romans chapter 5, we'll be reading verses 1 through 11. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Freddie, would you pray for us? Amen. It's just like what Don was talking about a few minutes ago. It's a free choice. The loving God don't send us to hell. He gave us that free choice. Just like when Adam and Eve in the garden, man had free choice then, and sin entered in. So we have that choice. And I'm so glad that he justified me by his blood. And I'm glad, you know, people think, well, God ain't fair. You know, I'm struggling financially, or I'm struggling physically. I'm glad God didn't give me what I deserve, folks. I'm glad he didn't give us what we deserve, because if he gave us what we deserved, we'd be all hell-bound right now, to be honest with you. Yeah. So I'm glad that he justified us through the blood of Jesus Christ. I was listening to a local radio station Wednesday morning. I ain't going to say the guy's name, but he has like a little morning show for 30 minutes, and he was talking about he used to be, before the financial stuff hit, he used to be pretty wealthy. He was a builder, and he's pretty well off. And he said, I've had people coming up to me and saying, I'm sorry that you lost, you know, everything you had, and you're struggling and all this stuff. And he said, I'm not. He said, don't apologize for that. He said, don't apologize for that whatsoever. He said, I'm glad I didn't get what I deserved. He said, I still got the Lord, and I'm glad I didn't get what I deserved. I might have lost all these material things, but that don't matter. I still have the Lord, and I know where I'm going. But in verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Like I said, the peace that we have with God is through Jesus. Plain and simple, folks. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ that we can have peace with God. In verse 2, it talks about because of Jesus, we have access. We have direct access to God through Jesus Christ. Think about how it was living in the Old Testament. You know, once a year you had to go make that sacrifice, and you didn't have direct access. You had the high priest to go to. But because of Jesus Christ, we have direct access to God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10, you don't have to turn there. Book of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20 says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh." See, back in the Old Testament, they had to come to the high priest and offer their sacrifices. But because of Jesus, we have direct access to God, like it talks about here in verse 2. We have access by faith in this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But our focus is going to kind of be these next three verses, verses 3, 4, and 5. "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us." You might say, glory in tribulations? What does tribulations mean? Tribulation is a cause of great trouble or suffering. So we're supposed to glory in great trouble and suffering? We're supposed to glory in that? But it goes on to say that this tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. So yes, we need to glory in these things. You know, I know I refer to this a lot. You know, what we was going through with faith almost 15 years ago, really 15 years ago, we was already not knowing what to expect. She wasn't here with us yet. Missy's pregnant with her. We knew there was problems. The doctor said it could be any time. And that 6 months she was in the hospital, that was a hard time in our lives. But we look back at these tribulations in our lives, folks. We need to have glory in these tribulations, because what God brought us through, just like these storms they sing about this morning. He's either going to calm the storm, or a lot of times when you're in that storm, he's going to calm you. Yeah. Maybe you're going through that storm for a reason. Maybe he's not ready for you to be out of that storm yet. But you know what? That peace of God can calm you. Yeah. Till you get to that song. Just like when they're singing this morning, that's him. I mean, God just tapped the wind, said, that's him. The storms in our life, maybe we're going through that storm for a reason. Maybe it's not time for that storm to pass yet. But I'm glad that we have the peace of God that can calm us during that storm. So look back at the storms in your life. Would I want to go through a situation like that again? I'd be lying if I said I did. But I look back and I wouldn't take nothing else for it. I'm glad for the tribulations in my life. Because if we was always on top of that mountain, I think we forget that we needed God. So it's in the valleys, the mountains, and the storms that we go through that we realize, well, hey, we can't do this on our own. You know, think about this. If you glory in these tribulations, look back at the storms in your life, these tribulations, that experience and hope has given you the ability to help a fellow believer or even a lost person going through a similar situation. Maybe, you know, that experience that it talks about with the tribulation, work of patience, patience experience, and experience hope. Maybe God has had you go through that for a particular reason in your life. Maybe it's to help a fellow believer or even a non-believer down the road to go. They say, you know, you're a Christian. How'd you handle this? And it gives you that experience, and you can kind of give them that hope of what they're going through. About a year and a half after Faith was born, somebody I went to school with, I wouldn't consider him at the time a good friend, but it was somebody I knew. He was a year or two behind me in school. They was going through a similar situation. And God had that, me and Misty went through that experience, so we could go down to Atlanta, that hospital, and kind of tell them what our experience was, what we faced, and what they would be going through. You know, and a lot of times people have the best of intentions, like you might have a family member with cancer or going through a situation like we do with Faith. And I know people have the best intentions when they say, you know, I'm praying for you, I know what you're going through. You know, people would tell us that, and I know they were trying to be kind, but they didn't know what I was going through. They didn't know what it was like to have a little baby that might not make it laying in the hospital, not knowing what was going to happen to her. They didn't know what I was going through, and I know they had the best intentions. They didn't know, but God gave me a Misty, that experience, and that hope that we might can help somebody struggling through this situation. So that's maybe think about that instead of saying, God, get me out of the storm or get me on top of this mountain. just sit back and enjoy and have glory in what you're going through, because he's got something good that's going to come out of that. And we're going through this stuff, like in verse 6 it says, "For scarcely a righteous man will one die." I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong. Verse 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." And a lot of times, folks, we're going to be without strength. But where does our strength come from during that time? If we truly turn to him and seek his faith, our strength comes from God during these times. During these valleys, it won't always be easy. Remember this, the task ahead of us, folks, is never greater than the power behind us. God's not going to put you through something he knows you can't handle if you trust in him. That's the key. Not thinking you can do it on your own, but trusting in God. Like what Tim was talking about this morning with that singing, there's going to be a time, you know, your spouse or your mom or dad or that friend or even the preacher can't help you. There's going to be that time when that's going to mean there's nothing that man can do for you. But there's always Jesus. That's all we got to remember. There's always Jesus to get us through that time. I mean, we're only human. Myself and Stephen and Jeff, preachers, we're only human. We're going to fail you. That's what we tell our youth. I don't never want to let our youth down. I don't never want to fail them. The odds are, at some point, I'm going to disappoint them. It will never be on purpose, but I'll disappoint them. But I'm glad that we serve a Lord who never disappoints. And he's always there with us every step of the way. He never lets us down. Never. Verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us." When I read that verse, I can't help but think about John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I think, well, that's a simple verse that, you know, all children, that's the first verse most children learn. But I tell you what, that's one of the greatest verses in the Bible. That he sent his only begotten Son. That's how much he loved us. That he sent his only begotten Son. Then on in verse 9, "Much more than being nailed justified by his blood." How do we have all this? Like we sung about this morning, nothing but the blood. Now a lot of people don't want to talk about the blood of Jesus anymore. Without the blood, there's no remission of sins. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, we don't have what we have. Folks, that's what it's all about. It's about the blood of Jesus. In verse 10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." What is reconciled? To reestablish a close relationship. God had that close relationship when he created man, and man went and messed it up. But through the blood of Jesus, folks, we had that reconciliation with God. We can be reconciled to him. But like Don said this morning, if he's pricking your heart, if he's dealing with you, if you're here this morning and you're lost and you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, or maybe you're here in a backslidden condition, you're not where you need to be with God. You're not where you used to be with him when you was first saved. You need to reconcile with him. There's a need here this morning. And just think about, and I got ahead of myself here a little bit, I'm sorry. But verse 9, talking about being justified by his blood, we're saved from wrath through him. Now think about, I heard Zane Fisher preaching, you know, several years ago, that, you know, we all grew up and complained, like I was talking about that man that lost everything he had, and like Zane said, if God took everything away from me, took my family, took my home, and put me in a cardboard box, I'd still have reason to praise him. Because he saved us from hell, folks. Yeah. Just think about Job. You know, we grow up and complain sometimes. Look what Job went through. Lost everything. Has sores from the crown of his head to the bottom of his feet. But he still praised God through it all. And I'm glad for that reconciliation that we have through the blood of Jesus Christ. So like I said, reconciliation is to reestablish a close relationship with God. And as they come with the song of invitation, I'm going to ask you this morning, maybe you're here this morning and you're lost and don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior. Or maybe you are saved this morning and there's something missing. Your relationship with God ain't what it should be. Maybe you've had a physical or even a financial or a spiritual struggle and you kind of blamed God and gotten away from him. And you want to reconcile with him this morning. Now's the time to come to this old-fashioned altar and get things right with him. If you ever want to stand. have that need, come on down this morning. There's something missing.
I'm kind of homesick for a country where I've never been before. No sad goodbye time won't matter anymore. Beulah land, sing it with me. I'm longing for you, and someday I will turn.